The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and I'm glad to have you on board. And equally glad to have on board for this episode is world-class coach, and he's held that distinction for many, many years and comes into these World Championships at Sunset Lakes as the coach for the Chilean water ski team. His name is Tongue Bene. How are you doing, sir?
How are you, Tony?
I'm doing pretty good. So, Tongue, I mean, you've been involved coaching tournament water skiing for many, many years. So, when did you start coaching at international level for whichever team that you started with?
Well, I went back into water skiing in early 90s. During the period before I was training Emmerich, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I decided, yeah, probably this is where I'm having fun. So my brother became world champion in 89, and that's when I started. I said, okay, I'll train some other people.
Okay, so what is it about your coaching? Because, I mean, you're very highly sought after, you know. I mean, you were the coach for the Chilean team for many, many years, and then you took some time off. You decided to retire off to an island somewhere, and then for some reason you were kind of brought back into to the fray a little bit. So in your opinion, what is it about what you do out there that makes you so highly sought after as a coach, so to speak?
Well, I believe that's a question you should ask my skiers.
I know, but what do you think it is? I mean, you've been around this sport for many, many years. You must have gotten a sense for why they bring you in.
Well, basically, I think winning is about the head more than the state of skiing. So I really concentrate on getting the head right.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I really believe that between 65 and 70% of the winners won with the mental part of the skiing. So I'm really focused on making sure that in their head, they're winners.
Okay, so less about technical and more about getting in someone's headspace and just trying to make things, you know, easier for them to digest and be able to perform with less stress out in the water, yes?
That is correct, and obviously all the training part and all the coaching part goes into that direction too. You know, like it all goes together, but always with the goal of getting the mind ready for the tournament.
Excellent. So you had a life in tournament water skiing long before you actually started coaching. Kind of give us a little bit of an idea of how long you were a competitive skier for, and in what era, what kind of time span.
Well, I did ski tournament-wise, but not for a very long time. I was always curious about the world, and I had so many things to see. But I skied for around 7 years,
mm-hmm.
from 14 years old to 21.
Uh-huh.
That's when I retired.
So that was in the 1970s, around 1970s, turn of the 80s.
And the end of the 80s, the beginning of the 80s, exactly. And yeah, my level was not very good, except in tricks. I was top three in the world, but yeah, just having fun. And I was, at that period, there was so many things I wanted to know. And I was actually training in your countries with the great diving nations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, David Nations was kind of an idol for me. Crazy man, passionate, and very, very special.
Yeah, and he made skiers work exceptionally hard. The likes of like Patrice Martin came to his stable over in Ruislip to learn more about trick skiing. But you know, obviously, we talk about some of the great skiers in the world, and we mentioned Patrice Martin right there. But who are some of the great athletes that you have had a personal hand in guiding to greatness at the world stage? I can pick one right off the bat, and that's Angeliki Andreopoulou, who won the world championship in jump. What was it?
Three times.
And the last of them is 2009. But obviously, talk a little bit about her and maybe some of the others that you've helped go to the top of the ladder.
Well, I had the chance of, the coach is nothing without the athlete.
Of course.
I was so lucky to have a very gifted athlete, talented and driven, which is, like you know, my coaching, which is the most important for me, driven. Uh-huh. With a lot of will to get there, because it's not always the most talented that win.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that now. And so I'm not going to name them all, but at the end I had the chance of having success in having 34 world titles at the open level with people I train. I mean, the likes of Angela, mm-hmm. The likes of Jared Luala, Pipe Miranda, the Larsons, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. There is, I know I'm going to forget a lot of names. This is why I don't want to start. I didn't want to start this.
I perfectly understand that. And the skiers that you mentioned, all exceptional athletes and all multiple world championships. You know, so let's just see if I can get a sense of your process a little bit. You know, I mean, from the time that a country says, "Hey, listen, we need a coach. We need someone who can work not only with the technical aspect with the sport, but also with the head." You know, we know that Tange is available. I mean, How do they reach out to you? Do they reach out to you from the point of view of trying to fix some things, or are you someone that takes a more holistic approach, you know, rather than spot coaching?
Well, basically, when somebody tries to hire you, it's for coaching, basic coaching, and then you come with whatever you're doing, which I have a special system I have in place for many years. I made a lot of mistakes to get to the point where, you know, I do less and less mistakes, since I'm still doing some, obviously. But yeah, at this stage of my career, I think I learn more from what not to do than what to do. But the approach, when people try to hire me, they hire a coach and I come with my way of doing things. As for Chile, you know, we worked, I was concentrating on four athletes at the beginning, and after years of working, we worked on creating a new generation skiers that would come for the future.
Uh-huh.
And put a system in place, and today you can see the results. And
such as skiers like the Gonzaleses, the Martin Labrador, and all of those, and like the junior world championships in the U17s. I mean, man alive. I mean, they came through, they won the team title. I mean, that would have been impossible years ago.
They didn't win, they lost it by 100 points.
Just 100 points, yeah.
But just being at that level was surprising to everyone but us.
Yes, indeed. And I mean, it was a great thing to see.
And the system in place means that after those kids come other kids, so it's something that roll like a little rock, you know, that keep rolling.
Yes, so or like a snowball approach.
They have a bright future.
Yes, indeed. Now one of the things that I heard a little bit, and obviously stories go around and stuff like that. Not only do you work with the head, but also with conditioning as well. And also it has been said and has been told to me that in preparation for some tournaments, you actually had some of the junior skiers actually go for a run, you know, prior to a tournament to get their conditioning up, to get fit, you know, to the point where they could do a lot of what you expect them to do a little bit easier. Are some of these stories true, or are they just folklore?
No, they're actually all true. But when I talk about mistake, I've done a lot of them in that part, because, like, obviously I'm not a physical preparator. I'm not a psychologist. So I did what I could, reading a bit and try to do the best that I can. But we got a lot more professional and taking the right people to do all the off-water work, which really is, and there's a lot of it. You have the physical preparation. You gotta have a doctor to follow the athlete so they have an injury at 15 years old. You have an X-ray at 17 years old. They have an injury in the same area. You have something to watch from before. So it's getting more and more professional. Psychological level too. You have psychologists to talk to them during the COVID period. All those things were done through Zoom.
Yeah.
On a case by case basis. So this is how you try to do the best you can, and especially to be surrounded by the right people.
Now you touched upon a little bit with COVID-19 and the pandemic. You know, obviously that pandemic left nothing out there in the world absolutely untouched. And that goes with coaching as well, because coaching is something that you do on a very, very personal level. So how were you able to continue coaching, you know, whilst observing the protocols that were typically in place in a lot of nations around the world, including Chile?
All right, well, it's about 2.5 years ago, I retired.
Mm-hmm.
So I was retired, and during that COVID period, I was retired, which I was not concerned with what was happening. Obviously, I had some contact with a lot of the people that I love. I call them my kids, because they're my family. My skiers are my family. And I have a humongous family starting 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened is, like, I went to see a kid of a friend in Guadeloupe in the Caribbean. And he's a skier, and I started training him a bit. And I was supposed to be there for 3 weeks, and a week later we were confined.
Isn't that?
So here we go. So there was no training possible. So what we did is we woke up at five in the morning, getting the boat in the water, ski until 7. So we were making sure the cops would not stop us. There was only us. Get the skiing done, go home, and be home all day.
Kind of be like a secret agent out in the water, huh?
Well, I don't know about secret agent, but, like, let's not get caught. We're not doing anything wrong to our sense, but we were. It was not supposed to be done. And that's when I got a little bit with one kid into the skiing again. And then I came with him in Florida. And, well, I know a lot of people. So people start seeing me. And, hey, Tengi, can you come in the boat? Can you come? And suddenly, here we go. I was a lot in the boat.
Wow.
And I have to say that when I retired, I felt I didn't have the energy that I needed to give my athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And that big break out of skiing just showed me that. And now when I started, I realized that I was full of energy and I could go back at it again. And if we put it clear, this is my passion.
Yeah, I mean, when water skiing, tournament water skiing grabs you, it really, really stays with you, and it's hard to release that grip.
It's the human part that I love.
Yes, indeed. So, we'll round off the podcast here. There's so many other questions, you know, that touch upon another subject. Actually, let me ask one right now. Obviously, you coached and you trained Aymeric Benet to the 89 World Water Ski Trick Championship and to a number of different titles. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are probably listening and asking me. No, ask him about Aymeric. Where is he? Do you keep in contact with him? We haven't heard from him for a while, so here's your opportunity to set that record straight.
Well, Aymeric is great. Thanks for everyone for wanting to know. Yeah, he's great. He's living in Palm Beach.
Uh-huh.
He's a builder. He's building houses now. He's starting building houses of 200,000 or 300,000. And now,
oh, wow.
And now he's building houses that cost millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And he's known down in the area as the fastest builder. So he's really, really sought after.
Wow, sought after.
And he's like, he cannot take anybody anymore because he has too much work.
All right, then. Okay. We'll round off the podcast there. Thank you very much for being a part of this.
It.
But is there anything that you'd like to give a shout out to say thanks to? The microphone is yours if you want to do that.
Well, there is so many people that I want to thank. It's just, I thank the whole water ski family. That will be my conclusion.
All right, that's a really nice catch-all, and you just heard Tange Benet. My name is Tony Lightfoot. This is the latest episode of the TWBC podcast, and until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.